in this book of Proverbs, we've been learning some really interesting things, some great insights, practical things. And so we're really getting to the end. We're going to cover chapter 25 through 30 tonight. And then next Wednesday, Jeannie's going to share on the virtuous woman, which is in chapter 31. Okay, so that's our plan for tonight and next week. But let's go to Proverbs chapter 25. And here, as I've done in the past, I pick out a few verses. We're not going to read all the verses, obviously, but I just pick out a few that we can look at. The first one here in chapter 25, verse 11, is a wonderful verse. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Somebody has their website with that name. Yvonne McChesney. Yeah, she uses that verse as her to share things on her website. You know, a fitly spoken word is going to originate from God's word, don't you think? Yeah, it's going to fit with God's word, and it's just going to make all the difference. Now, there's in verse 21 and 22 is something that can be confusing to the Western mind. Let's read it, and I think you'll see what I mean. Verse 21, it says, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Pretty nice thing to do. Verse 22 says, for, in light of doing this, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Now that sounds like you're going to burn him all up, right? So how do we understand that? Because it's pretty contradictory to the previous verse, especially. Well, go to Romans. Keep your finger, obviously. Yeah. But Romans shares that same thing. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. It says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place under wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy be hungry, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what?
Good.
So what does it mean here to put coals of fire on somebody's head? Well, this is a what we call an Orientalism. This, in light of the Eastern culture and understanding this, and Bishop Pillai is a wonderful teacher of the Orientalisms of the Bible, the culture of those times. And what he shares about this is that in the Bible times and in the East, the villages would have a central fireplace. And people would, you know, as the evening wears on and people go into their homes and they go to bed and the fires that they have for their dinners and stuff kind of go out and everybody's at rest, asleep. But in the middle of the village there, they maintain a fire there. And what happens early in the morning, somebody, many times the children, would take a bucket or a boss of some kind, a clay boss, whatever, they would go and get coals from this fire that's in the center of the village, and they would carry it back on their heads, as you've probably seen that done, and they would enjoy doing that because it's nice and warm. It warms them. So as they take it back to their homes, they use the hot coals to start the morning fires. So when it talks about heaping coals of fire on their head, it's referring to this idiom or orientalism that you warm your enemies. Isn't that pretty neat how that works? So it's not a contradiction or anything. It's just understanding the culture of the Bible. And that's what that means there. Now the lesson here, I think we want to remember that. We've got people that tick us off sometimes, right? But if we are revengeful toward them, what are they going to do back to us? Yeah, same thing. So, you know, not a bad idea. Do something good for your enemies, and lo and behold, they might just change their heart. Yeah, pretty cool.
In that final verse, too, says, so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you.
That's a good point.
So it's that desire that God wants. We always want to take care of people.
Yeah, and God's going to work with us to do that and bless us because of that. We're back to chapter 25 in Proverbs, verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So, my phone is talking to me. I turned it off. Back in the, again, in the Bible times, all your cities of any size would have walls around it to keep the bad guys out, right? Keep the enemy out. But if the walls are broken, there's no walls, then the enemy can get in very easy. So if we want to walk by the Spirit and walk with the Father, then we need to have our mind together, you know, focused on Him so that the enemy cannot sneak in. All right? I don't know if there's any other verse in chapter 25. I'm open if you have something that hits your heart in some of these chapters as we move along. Like I say, I'm just doing a few verses here. 27 of chapter 25, verse 27, it is not good to eat much honey, for so men to search their own glory is not glory. What is, there must be a better translation than the my King James. What do you got?
Eat too much honey. And it is not good to seek honors for yourself.
Okay. It's not good to seek honors for yourself is what that is saying. Glory, yeah. I could see that's a little better translation of the King James.
26. A righteous man who falters before the wicked is like a murky spring and a polluted well. Mm. That's righteous men do not falter because they strong.
Yeah, he doesn't want to reverence
spring.
The wicked now. Yeah. Let's go to chapter 26. I was going to read verse 10 and 11, but I don't know after eating dinner if I should read that. The The great God that formed all things, God rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. He blesses everybody. Ah, but as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. So, yeah. A fool keeps making the same dumb mistakes. He keeps doing the same thing. He keeps it. Yeah. Yeah. Verse 19. So is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? That's the King James. What this word sport is used is joking. What are some of the other translations?
Someone who lies to a friend. Then I was only joking.
Yeah. You lied to a friend and then he uses, hey, I'm just joking, use it as an excuse.
Yeah.
Not good.
That's what I think it's
sarcasm.
Yes, it's underhanded. Yeah. That's why they're saying, they break my bones, but worse than that person. Which is totally opposite.
That's, yeah. You can't
take back a word and spoke evil or whatever, but you'll heal from those sticks and stones. Words are very important.
Amen.
Verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no tail bearer, the strife ceases. Yeah, you know, things happen. You know, somebody, this happened to so-and-so. And so people start talking about it. And they, so do you hear about so-and-so? And this happened to him. Oh, my gosh, I'm tail bearers. But if we stop and not go there, it's over with, right? It's Jesus, the strife ceases.
Fire is not good. And boy, disappear when gossips.
Yeah. Quarrels appear when gossip stops. That's good. Verse 22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And that's so true, isn't it? We just don't want to gossip and tell negative things about, especially about believers. My goodness. Anything else in 26? That you see that you want to share. All right. Chapter 27, verse 1 and 2. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. So we don't want to be boasters, right? I've got a note here in James, if you want to go there. Hebrew James. Pretty similar. It's interesting. You can see some of these great principles, truths, in the church epistles or in the New Testament repeated. So in chapter 4, verse 13 in James, it says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know what's going to happen the next day. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is what?
Evil.
So we don't rejoice in our boastings. We let other people boast about us, huh? The next verse, I'm back in Proverbs 27, verse 3 says, a stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Yeah. Anything else? Oh, verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. You know, sometimes friends can kind of get down on each other, but really a good friend is going to give a good counsel. You know, he's going to, he or she,
tell
them the truth and build them up. Yeah. Yep. And verse 17 is a one we use quite a bit, don't we? Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Yeah, we use that quite a bit, huh? And how true that is, that we can help our friends, our loved ones, by encouraging, positive, the truth, blessing them. Very helpful.
That is interesting.
Verse 10 of chapter 27. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off.
Interesting, yeah.
Are not forever, and doth the crown go to every generation. Not going to happen. All right, anything else in 27? Well, let's go to 28. I like verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Verse 5, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. You know, people, sometimes you talk with people about the things of God, the simple, basic things, and they kind of fight you on it. And really, if they're going to have a sound mind, it's going to make sense to them. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. If they genuinely have a humility to know God and the things of God, then they're going to get it.
My mother used this one verse here in her way. Not verbatim in this verse, but it was very similar. Verse 7? Yeah. King James puts it this way. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. So in my case, he's my boss.
Yeah.
And verse 7, the NLT just simply says, young people who obey the law are wise. Those with wild friends bring shame to their parents.
Yeah.
And my mother will. Yeah, it's stupid. You understand that. Don't be doing stuff that's not right. Because then they're going to listen. You're really talking to what you're doing.
Yeah,
of the family.
Now, was your mom concerned about your righteous friends when you were young, Al?
I'm not even talking about kids, but I can remember that. house. Not my house. I'm done right now.
Not my house.
Put you back over here. If you're going to do that, leave.
Wow, man.
Good for her.
Then they left. My mother said, we're done. They left. Get this.
Yeah. Good mom.
Yeah.
Good. 14. Happy is the man that feareth always, or reverence always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, reverencing God, can't help but be happy, huh? 19, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. He's going to be faulty. Some basic things here, huh?
Yeah.
Very basic things, but boy, oh boy. You need to get them.
This book is meant for young people. Mm-hmm. To give them.
The Book of Proverbs. Yeah. 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 Amen. Amen.
I like 13 and 14. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall in calamity.
Yes, that's a great one. Happy is the man that reverences always, but he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief. Yep. A good one. Any others?
15.
All right, 15. Oh, as a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people.
That's Canada.
Yeah. 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat in a good way. Prosperous? Yeah. Is that?
26 is really cast to it.
He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. Yeah, that's cool.
Verse
23. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue.
Criticism far more than flattery.
Right.
People appreciate honest criticism, yeah, than just flattery. Yeah. Good.
Lip service.
Lip service? Yeah. That's a Westernism.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would be an Orientalism. It's certainly a Westernism. Okay, 29. All right, chapter 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Boy, how true that one is, huh? Whoso loveth wisdom rejoices his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. There you go. Yeah.
Four. Yeah. Looking at that.
Verse 4, the king by judgment established the land, but he that receives gifts overthrow it.
Bribes.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Verse 7, the righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Yeah. verse, I was going to say 17, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest, yea, he shall give delight to thy soul. Verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You know, we use that, right? People don't have the vision, the people perish who fall short. Yeah, we don't.
Verse 15 is like the other verse we read earlier, it's similar to it.
15?
Yeah.
The rod and reproof. Yeah, give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Yeah. We got to keep on our kids, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 25?
True.
The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe.
Okay.
Yeah, safe. All right, any others before we go to 30? I just got a couple on 30. Now, verse 30, or chapter 30, rather, verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descendeth? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Amen.
You
have
had his word that he rebuked you and be bound of fire. It's like Revelation, do not add or subtract to the word.
Don't add or subtract to the word, yeah. Good.
13
and chapter 30. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up.
They look proudly around, casting disdainful glances.
Wow.
There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not worshipful. That's the verse before that.
Yes. Yeah.
And like the leech has two daughters, give and give.
What is that?
Oh, it's number 15.
It's a horse leech.
I don't know what a horse leech is. The word leeches, like.
Leeches, two suckers that cry out, more, more. Three things that are never satisfied. No, four, they say, never enough, never enough.
Yeah. The grave, the barren womb, the earth is not satisfied with water. The fire in the earth says, very enough.
Yeah. Verse 20. Oh, okay. 18. What does that say?
There are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yes, four which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a virgin.
With a maid, yeah. Wow.
This is very profound.
Mm-hmm.
Those are amazing things. Well, later on in there, he 29, he says, there be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. A lion which is strongest among beasts turneth not away for any. A greyhound and a he-goat and a king against whom there is no rising up. Now, I get the lion and the king. I don't know about the goat and the greyhound.
The greyhound.
Yeah.
It's amazing. 30,
31. And then a he-goat.
29.
Yeah, 29.
You notice it says there are three things which are majestic in pace as the running.
Okay.
And a greyhound.
Very fast. Yes. See, that's a better translation of King James.
It's New King James, but.
Well, they.
These troops are with him.
Yeah.
Oh, it's pretty hard to have an army if you're not following the leader.
Or is that?
Well, I said the king whose troops are with him. One of the three that states adjusted the group.
Mm-hmm. Any others?
Oh my gosh.
33.
33 is a little interesting, huh?
Yeah.
The churning of milk bringeth forth butter. The wringing of the nose brings forth more. So the forcing of wrath brings about strength.
Was it David that did all that storing of food and stuff? What was doing when they had hard times? They had simple food. Because he had stored it up, remember?
Joseph.
So with that being said, verse 25, I think, apropos.
Yeah.
Ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer.
They aren't strong, but they store up food all summer.
Yeah, and that's their nature. I mean, they do that.
Can't wait till
they're done storing. Yeah. They've been raiding our house, yet we haven't. Well, I'm looking forward to next week. Jeannie's going to share chapter 31, verse 10 and on. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? I think Jeannie's very pleased to share that. So, yeah, I know we all have wonderful ladies. Well, some good stuff in there. Yeah, Father, thank you for the word you've given us so that we can be wise in all ways. I sure appreciate how you work with us and the privilege we have to be your children. Thank you for your wonderful heart toward us, that we can just know that you love us and care for us. And we just love you, Father. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.